listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us tonight on LA Radio, Empowered Communication Radio Show. My name's Sue Wagner, Dr. Pat Allen's daughter and the director of the Dr. Pat Allen Wand Institute. We're so fortunate tonight to have myself and Kelly Ward available to answer your relationship questions. The call-in number for the show will be 323-203-0815. When you call the number, Sam at the switchboard sees your number and will call you back to connect to the show. Please make sure you pick up the callback and enter this number in your phone contact list to avoid going to spam. Before we answer your questions, I want to tell you a little bit about our sponsor, the Wand Institute. The Wand Institute currently provides facilitators that will educate you with techniques for how to begin, build, and maintain lasting and loving relationships. The facilitators will introduce you to basic communication skills using the techniques of Wand training developed by Dr. Pat Allen. If you want information regarding any of the services and the coaches, you can reach me at the office at 949-723-0338, or you can email me at info@drpatallen.com, info@drpatallen.com. You can also go on to our website, drpatallen.com, and she has some live streaming video of all of her communication tools and her philosophy. It's about a 45-minute streaming. It's called Chemistry, Compatibility, and Communication. It's available free access. Tonight, we have Kelly Ward on the show tonight. Kelly, are you there available?
I'm here.
Kelly, so can you tell us a little bit about what you do for the Wand Institute?
Yes, I can. So I do groups and I do private coaching sessions. And also I am the mediator of Dr. Pat Allen's other ladies groups. We have a lot of fun in those groups. We've got a lot of ladies that are, you know, doing the program, and they are in fact getting to I do. They're getting engaged, they're getting married. We've got several babies and we're having a big time. Our ladies are growing all the time and making those connections with the tools. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. So hopefully we'll get some calls tonight. The number is 323-203-0815. If you cannot call in due to a time difference, you can email me a question at the office and I'd be happy to read it on the air. And then you can go into the archives and listen to the answer. Just send it to info@drpatallen.com. I also want to tell you a little bit about I offer monthly drop-in ladies groups. I help the ladies online dating. I help them with communication skills. I help them to work out their behavior, to change their behavior or their picker, to pick better quality men. And I also, I also work with married ladies as well with their communication. We have another coach, Patricia Eltid. She works with couples. And as Kelly does, Kelly does privates. I do privates as well. And if you want help with any of our services, just call me or send an email and I will guide you to the best coach or information that's best suits your questions or needing help with. So tonight, hopefully we'll get some questions, but I do want to go over some information. Dr. Allen's book, Getting to I Do, is now available on Audible. You can purchase it on Amazon.com along with her other books. And Dr. Pat Allen is still functioning. She does have a woman's group. It's closed to the open public. The ladies in there have been in there for a couple of years, so the seats have never become open. But her birthday is coming up in September. She'll be 90 years old. We're going to see if she'll be able to come on to the show next week. See if it's available in her schedule. Kelly, do you work with, do you know if her schedule is going to be open, if she's available to come on?
I think she will be able to come on next week. We'll have a big time talking with her and getting ready for her birthday. It's a big birthday, 90 years old.
It's 90 and she's still functional and knows her material. she has a little hard time of hearing, which a lot of the people that have seen her in the past, but she is working through it and answering the ladies' questions. The ladies' groups, I know that there's probably about four people that got married, and I think two more are engaged to get married this week, and I only know of one baby. Is there another baby that was born?
Yes, we've got two babies.
Oh, okay. 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 So I do have a question from somebody that wrote in. She's in the AA program, and her boyfriend was in the AA program. I'm going to see. I kind of answered this for her, but Kelly, I want to get your intake. She wants two intakes, points of view. So, and they're both in the AA program, and he is working on his sobriety and also his career. And she is working. She was a little bit too much of a drag down for him, so he told her he needed some space to get his sobriety in order and his career intact. So they're still friends, but she's having a hard time wanting to move, know whether it's going to ever be a relationship together. And I've told her, because they see each other at the meetings, and that seems to be fine, but she's in so much pain because she doesn't know if he'll ever want her back. I've told her to go duty date and find another man, but when she does go duty date, she rejects them and gives them an attitude like she's not interested. So she's just in a cycle. That's what I told her, is to go out and find another man. And if your original man comes back, great. But in the meantime, go get another man to take away your attention. And maybe he'll take you and start a relationship with you. And you won't want the old relationship back. What would you tell her?
I think that was really sound advice. And here's what I would say. What? You know, sometimes when we're going along and we don't really realize that we're stuck.
No, we're good. I thought we had a caller. No, we're good.
And we're stuck in a bit of a rut. And even though she loves him, there may be a compatibility issue. If she's on fire to go one way and he's trying to, set himself up for success in program and in his career, patience is the word. But if she doesn't have the patience and she's unsure, I think duty dating is the number one way to do it. Find another man. And, you know, sometimes that door closed means that you may be opening up an even better door. Uh-huh. And you can't just sit there and wait if you're not inclined to, especially if, you know, he's basically said, hey, I'm not, this isn't working for me. So while she's in a lot of pain, she's never going to be able to even put a bandage on that pain, like you said, without going out and exploring. And duty dating is a brilliant way to do it. You may not find anybody. You may make a friend that you never thought you would make before, or you may find Mr. Right.
That's true.
Mr. Right.
So she contacts me. She's in so much pain. And I said, well, what do you want to do with the gentleman? You see him at meetings. Do you want to not go to any meetings and totally end it and never give him a chance in the future that he might come back? And then she's like, no. I go, well, then you just have to be patient. And unfortunately, pain is a sign that change is needed or change is in progress. We all have to deal with pain. Her pain is coming from, she wants him to fix her pain. And that's not a healthy way. We all have to deal with our own pain, not have somebody else fix our pain. You know, when we're growing up, sometimes we give too much to our kids and they can't learn how to deal with life situations because we're helicopter parents. You have to teach your kids how to deal with pain, the outside world. Because they're going to run into a lot of hard knocks out there with pain, and they're going to need to know how to deal with it. And if the parents,
oh gosh, 100%,
if parents take care of these kids and take care of their feelings, so they never have to experience any kind of trauma or pain, they don't know how to function out there, and it's almost sad that pain.
Well,
is,
and it's truly unreal. It's truly unrealistic, and it's an interesting concept that you bring up because it's a twofold. Part. My sister, my younger sister, who I don't speak with, she is an addict, and she was, my mother took care of everything for her. And then when my mother passed, she was in a downward spiral to the point where she couldn't cope with anything, and she became homeless and even more addicted. And that's another thing too. We're talking about two people in program. When you're in program, you are in a growth stage, preparing. And so it's really not the best time to get into a relationship until you've reached a certain point. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, if you're in a relationship with somebody who's in program, it's highly recommended not to do that.
Well, until you're like years and years, but usually you're in the program for a reason. So, and you need to work through that reason before you get in a relationship and cause another thing on top of your addictions or your what you're working through that caused you to be in some kind of an addiction. So there's always some kind of reason in there. So I suggested that too. Just go out and have some fun. There's not much else you can do.
But I think it causes growth as well.
I mean,
you have to understand when you're meeting different people and doing different things, even if you don't realize, it's an experience of growth. Mm-hmm. And an experience on how to date and what you want and what you don't want in a relationship, which is really, really important with our program. What you don't want. And we can't find that out unless we are dating and trying people on for size.
That's true. Now, I do have some other ladies that have asked me questions. You know, like Dr. Allen says, guys generally know they want a woman the minute they see her. Whenever the ladies go out on a date, I always tell the ladies to try and find out where this gentleman's going, if he's looking for long term. And she can even state what she's looking for. She doesn't have to ask him. She can state what she's looking for in the date so that you're not spending months dating somebody and not knowing where they're leading you to. Because guys sometimes are not, they do not present that they want to rush to the altar. And we don't want the ladies to interview.
That is 100% true. And I have
and
a friend.
They never talk about marriage. They say, well, he didn't ask me. I go, well, did you tell him what you wanted? Because they're not going to rush and ask you if you want married. I say, just tell them general chit chat that, you know, you're dating because you're looking to be married in the next year or two and hopefully have kids. And if he's not interested in being married in a year or two, he will not ask you out again. If he is, then you know he's headed the same way. You're both headed.
Well,
don't waste the time.
On top of that, I just have a male friend coach who invited me to what he called was voyeur session. And I got to listen to 6 men talking about dating women.
And what did they say? Well, that would be, I'd like to be that fly on the wall.
Right. And so they were very receptive and they didn't mind that I was there. And yeah. I had a couple of questions for them, which they answered. And my first question was, when you first go out with a woman, how quickly do you know whether you're interested in her or whether you're never going to ask her out again? And all of them said, in between the first 3 and 5 minutes.
Oh, okay. And did they say what triggers it? Or just, because we know men are visual. They like to see a pretty object. Yeah.
Two of them specifically said, if she seems phony, I'm not interested.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow. And then the one guy said, you know, there's one thing to a pretty face, but if she's got an ugly inside, I'm not interested.
Uh-huh.
And I said, well, what do you mean by an ugly inside? He said, if she makes a face at somebody, if she's rude to the wait staff, and that's one of my red flags too. If I go on a date and the male I'm with is rude to the wait staff, my first thing is, I'm never going out with you again. So it's really interesting. While men and women are different, there is a standard. And now these men were all between 45 and 55 years old.
Uh-huh.
And so
had they been married before? Were they married before or single? Divorced and
three
married.
Of them were married before. One was engaged and didn't go through with it because she turned into a bridezilla while planning the wedding.
Okay.
And the other man had not ever, he said he'd never found her. He keeps looking, but he's never found her.
She's looking for the perfect woman. The perfect woman.
Right, right. And I said that. I said, oh, so, you know, what is it that you're looking for that you're not finding? And then he's like, well, I have 10 absolute necessaries and 15 wants.
And what are they?
If she doesn't, meet the 10 absolute necessaries. So he didn't get into what each of the 10 absolute necessaries were. I was really curious, but we were running out of time. Yeah. But I just thought that was so interesting. Between 3 and 5 minutes, they know if there's any interest and if they have any intention of asking that woman out again.
Uh-huh. But I also tell the ladies they have to signal the men that they're interested, because some ladies just sit there and expect the man to come up with all these wonderful ideas and chase them like a storybook, you know, like a romance novel. It doesn't work like that. The women have to signal the man that she's interested, that he's doing a good job. And a lot of women don't do that. So the men think that she doesn't like him and he won't ask her out. And then they're in that vicious circle. Like, well, then nobody ever asks me out for second dates. And I say, well, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And they say nothing. Yeah, I said it was a nice dinner.
Two of the men mentioned if she's just there and she's not actively engaging.
Yes.
Then it's like, she must not like me. What's the point? I'm not doing this again.
Yes. Men have to be stroked on how they appreciate. The more they give, they want to have appreciation given back. They just don't give. And then at the end of the date, thank you for dinner. That doesn't mean you're interested in him. You've got to send him signals that you're interested in something about him or something interesting about him in general that attracts you to him. And you don't have to fall in love with him on the first date, but you have to get him to go to the second date. It's kind of like Dr. Allen dropped the hanky. You have to let him know you're interested. So he keeps pursuing you. We don't want to play hard to get. Well, he should know I was there and I told him I had a nice time. That's sometimes not enough.
Yeah, not only that, we get into that whole area of, well, I expected him to read my mind, and that's setting you up for 100% epic failure in a relationship.
Now, what would you say, you know, the ladies that go out, something internally is holding them up when they go out, and I think they expect the man to do all of the work to get to like them, when actually the woman listens to the man and she picks him. I think they have it backwards. What should women do when they're out on dates? Instead of trying to have the man pick me, they should be the one to decide they want to pick him. That seems to be backwards. What's your philosophy?
I think that's true. But I think one of the things that women tend to not do is they tend to not watch their body language. There's a certain level of body language that a person automatically reads. And, you know, if you're sitting there with your arms crossed over your chest and your legs crossed and your body turned away from him, that's an epic signal of, I'm not really interested in you. I'm just here.
Participating in, you know, banter and laughing and enjoying yourself. Just answering his questions like you're on an interview isn't enough to pull him in as well. Same with the body.
No, and then a lot of the women get this idea that they're not supposed to ask the man any questions. We try to make our ladies avoid the topic of work.
Yes.
About themselves, because it's very masculine.
Yes.
However, you know, there's questions you can ask a man that don't sound like you're looking for his, you know, his financial statement. So, you know, like, what did you like to do as a boy? Did you place any sports? You know, I had one guy who played baseball in his youth, and he was incredibly effervescent talking about it. It made him come alive. It was very interesting. And he became more attractive because he became so animated and loved it. But if you're never posing questions and finding out who this person is with those kind of until questions, not like, are you in a Fortune 500 company? You know, like,
what kind of car do you drive? Where do you live?
Right. Like, you know, one of my biggest questions is, you know, what kind of family do you have? Like, does he hate his mother? That's a red flag for me.
Yeah. Does he have brothers?
No, I mean,
close? Does he see them often?
Right. Right. Do you let your mother just sit in a corner somewhere and, you know, rot? Like, do you have any sisters? Do you have any brothers? What kind of childhood did you have?
Or, like,
you know,
what activities? Find out what activities he enjoys, or, you know, if he likes reading and watching movies. You may not be that movie buff, but find out what he enjoys, and then you share what you enjoy. You just automatically volunteer.
Because that's compatibility, and compatibility is hugely important.
It
is. That's one of the things. Well, one of the ladies said to me, well, he's really good looking.
That's not going to carry over.
That's really great. What happens when he opens his mouth? And that's another thing the guy said. Well, I'll see a pretty girl, and then she'll open her mouth, and some stuff will come out. And I think to myself, oh, no, I don't want to be anywhere near you.
Yeah.
So we got to watch our mouths. We got to watch our mouths. And the one guy said, you know, if the woman has like tendencies to look down on people that she thinks is below her station in life, I don't like that. And I was like, that's very interesting.
Yeah.
You know, if she's snooty, I don't like that. If she's not well read, that's unattractive. And I was like, whoa, okay. So, you know,
okay. Another question. What about, like, I have a lot of ladies doing the online dating, and all of these men approach dating as a 50-50 type of a deal. They're like, they want a woman that's smart, you know, sexy, this and that. It's almost like he wants her to be him in a woman's body, and the women are being confused because the men want like a 50-50. And how does 50-50 not work in relationships?
Yeah, we know that a relationship is never 50-50. And if it is, it's a partnership and it's more like a business. So
friendship.
And there may not be anything wrong with that with respect to certain types of relationships. However, if you're looking for a romance, you know, I don't think it's not a well-suited situation. And men are looking at that because they're like, okay, I'm going to put this in. What's she going to put in? And that's another thing that I hear men talk about a lot. I'm putting X, Y, and Z in. She's not putting in any effort.
I have a question.
Well, is the effort money?
Yeah. Somebody called in. A gentleman asked a question, emailed me the other day, and he was going out with a girl. And apparently he's paying all of it. And he's kind of wondering if she's ever going to fork over one thing. And she said, my dad told me not to ever have to pay for any dates, blah, 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 blah. And this guy's going, is that normal? This girl's entitled to get everything because her daddy had given her everything. And her daddy said that all men have to pay for every date and everything he does, you know, for the woman.
Well, I'm in major disagreement with that. And even if you're not in a position to pay, there's so many other things you can do. You can invite him over. You can buy him an ice cream cone because you can't tell me you can't afford an ice cream cone.
Yes.
Or a cup of coffee. Or maybe you bring him his favorite wine or a bottle of, you know, beer, something unique. Or, you know, you say to him, hey, you know what? I am really good and this is my specialty meal. I'd love to make it for you. There's all kinds of things you can do that equate to give.
Yeah. Dr. Allen always says for her ladies that after 2 to 3 dates, give back him something less than what he's given you. Like if he's taken you out on 2 or 3 really nice dates, take him to lunch, something, or make him dinner, something that's less, but always give back, because that way some men are testing women to see if they're gold diggers, if they're just all take. So you want to do a partnership, but the woman never gives equal or more than what the man gives her first. So that is a big deal breaker if women think that they should be entitled, unless the man wants to do that. But the woman can always ask and say, hey, I'd like to take you to lunch. You've been so great in taking me to these great restaurants. I'd like to take you out for lunch. And if he says, no, I never want my woman to pay for anything, then that's your signal that he doesn't want you to pay. But you have to communicate your willingness, because some men are testing to see if you're just there to take. So that's
100%.
So if
100%. Found that.
And some women do have that belief. Well, he asked me out. Men need to pay. And then there's the thing about, should they kiss on the first date? That's up to each individual. There is no rule that says you can't kiss on the first date. What's your take on that, Kelly?
I don't think that there should be a rule about that. I do, however, think that the man should make the first move on that particular instance. And if he is, you know, if he is inclined to do that and he walks you to your door and he wants a kiss goodnight, if you feel a level of attraction to him, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. If you're not attracted to him or you don't feel that level of attraction, you can just gently turn your face. And it doesn't have to be an obnoxious thing, you know, to humiliate him and emasculate him, which is just terrible.
Yes, because some women say, I don't kiss on the first date, which is an automatic rule. And when men start hearing that there's these rules the ladies go to, that's a big turnoff. You just have, that's what I've heard from men. These ladies are doing these rules, because I don't know where these rules came from. Dr. Pat doesn't teach them.
No, they came from that other woman that does the book of rules. And when the girls come in and they bring that up, Dr. Pat shuts that down in a lickety split. Boy, she's like, that's not my work. If that's the work you're working on, you need to go somewhere else.
Yeah. It's like we don't do that. Yeah. The guy calls them the day of and asks her for a date that night. In the rules book, you can't accept it because he's supposed to call you days before. And our Dr. Allen's motto is, you always make yourself available. You never know if he's your next husband. You could, you know, turn away a good man. Always take any man that asks you out.
I think that sometimes the ladies confuse him wanting to ask them out, close to the last minute with a booty call. Now then, if the guy is trying for a booty call and the lady, totally support that. No booty call. But if the man says, hey, you know what? I didn't realize it. I thought I was going to have to work late. I finished my project. I'd love to see you. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yes. And if any gentleman calls you at 8 o'clock and says something about, hey, you know what? Can I come over and keep you company? That might be a booty call. You can say, gosh, I really appreciate you calling me. However, it's late, but I'm more than available to go out with you another time. That signals him, without punishing him, that it's too late now, but you'd love to go out another night without, you know, assuming he wants to come over for a booty call, because maybe he doesn't. So we can't jump down his throat on what he never said and wanted. He may have really just wanted to come over, but the woman may not be comfortable having him come over that late. So we teach the communication tools, the stroke, the stand, and the contract, which helps negotiate relationships and helps you flag people on what you want and what you don't want in a rational way, not emotional. A lot of women go emotional when they hear a man say something, like when he asks, hey, would you like to come over for, you know, to spend the night? The women blow up. How dare you ask me that? Well, he has a right to ask you that. And all you have to say is, thank you for seeing me as sexually desirable. However, I'm not comfortable having casual sex unless I'm in a long-term committed relationship. And I'd love to get to know you more before we have, you know, before I go to your house and have sex. What do you think about that? Then he gets to throw in
100%.
You know, there's a way to communicate so that you're both on the same lines, because he has a right to ask, and a lot of women get mad. But men that ask for sex are masculine. They go after what they want. They're masculine. A lot of the women are used to the little boys that don't ask for things, and they want you to take care of them. and then you're in control. And then later on, you don't like it because they're not assertive. So you've got to be careful on what you want in men. Don't punish the strong men that you want and then end up with the weak guys that you get to control. That seems to be the loop of the women. They go with the feminine men, but then they get burned out, but then they get insulted by what the masculine men say. So they're always stuck in the middle. They're picker. What would you say for the women
to get their
picker?
You mentioned something about having a bad picker. And I have a woman who has a terrible picker. She's the worst. Her picker is so wrong that it's like, I don't even know how I can erase it and start over. We're working on it, but I'll tell you. She says she wants a masculine man, and every single solitary time, she's coming back to me with Peter Pan. And
the masculine I don't have chemistry for him.
Right, and she's coming back to me, and she's saying, well, he's done this, and he's done that, and I'm like, so who is he? Well, I guess he's Peter Pan. I said, that makes you who? Well, Wendy. I said, we'll have fun sewing his shadow back onto his heel. Because that's the way it's going to be. Because he is Peter Pan. And where did Peter Pan go? Never, never land, never grow up. And they don't. Some men don't. It's one of the greatest things that Pat ever said was, this is Peter Pan. Yeah. And it rang a bell. It's like, oh my God, never, never land. He's never growing up.
And then the ladies, like Dr. Allen says, if you ever listen to her seminars, which are available on the iTunes podcast, she says, go out with three men, unless they wear an orange jumpsuit, because if your picker picks either the bad boys, uncommittable, or the Peter Pans, you have to go out with these men consecutively. So you can desensitize and be comfortable with the good, boring guys that are the ones that are best for you, that will make you happy and want to commit and build a relationship. So it's the woman's work to have to desensitize her body and do the work to get the man and be patient about it instead of picking the same guy over and over again. She's got to change her beliefs.
Well, you know, that picking the same guy over and over again is something that I see happen a lot. I don't happen to see it just with women. I happen to see it with men. I have a friend
who keeps
coming back, and he says, well, I thought she was different. I said, no, you keep picking Rice Krispies. It's in a box that says cornflakes, but when you open it up, it's filled with Rice Krispies. You are picking based off of visual. And then when you finally start talking to them, they weren't Cocoa Krispies. They weren't Fruit Loops. They were really just plain old Rice Krispies in the box.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, I don't know how to stop doing it. I said, you know, before you pick with your eyes exclusively, try listening while you're picking with your eyes because you're a man.
Yeah.
But you're going to find out down the road whether or not it's Rice Krispies in that box. And the women do the same thing. And I say to them, you know, you continuously pick the same pair of shoes and you know that they pinch, but you just keep picking them. So the question is, why don't you pick a different pair of shoes? Oh, those shoes aren't so pretty. Those shoes aren't so interesting. Okay, so that's how they are equating with men. That man's not that pretty. But what are you really looking for? Are you looking for a solid long-term commitment? Maybe he doesn't look like Brad Pitt. Maybe he looks like, oh, I don't know, just average, everyday average Joe, but he's a good man. You know, he wants kids. He wants the home. He wants to take care of you and cherish you. He wants to mow the lawn on Saturday. He's a good man. But maybe it isn't rocket ships and sparklers and everything like that 24 hours a day. And who can maintain that?
As Dr. Allen says, men fall in love with their eyes. And I tell my women, you have to listen to the deal the man's giving you. Because once you hear how attractive your lifestyle is and how he can provide and protect you, that draws your attraction and the chemistry for him. So it's not always the looks. Women, if they're in their feminine, they want somebody to take care of them and the babies they have and make sure that there's a roof over their head. And that's why they have to listen to the man and find out the best deal for them, along with the chemistry will build if you're getting if you're hearing enough that is swooing you over. It doesn't have to all be looks, because looks can be diminished. And we've all seen the beautiful girl with the kind of boring looking guy, and she just loves him, and she has a perfect lifestyle, and that's her guy, and she's happy with him, and he just woos over her and happily ever after. But he's not Brad Pitt. He's just a regular guy, but he makes her happy. And that's how she falls in love with him.
I get my women picking with their eyes, which is incredibly masculine.
It is.
Men do pick with eyes, but you have to maintain it by your mouth and what you say and your actions, because men aren't stupid. You know, they'll find a beautiful woman, but if she opens her mouth, like I said, the one guy said she was absolutely gorgeous. Then she opened her mouth and she became ugly. And I thought that was really interesting. I said, what did she say? He said, it wasn't one thing. He said it was a series of things that she said. And I thought to myself, she's ugly inside.
Yeah.
I don't want to be with her. But I think that's both sides. I think that's men and women. But if we take the time to really listen, he's going to tell you. There's going to be clues there. There's going to be context clues. You know, I mean, I had a woman that just was gaga over this man. She wanted marriage and children, and he wanted anything but, and she just kept pursuing. And I said, he doesn't want what you want. There's no compatibility there. You're going to get hurt.
Another lady I was talking to, she's in her late 30s, and she met a guy at the bar, and he's taken her out and had a good time. And even when the bar's closed, he still wants to keep partying. And then she's got another guy that wants to get serious, but of course she doesn't like him, but she likes the partier guy. And I said, the partier guy, has he mentioned anything about getting married? He said someday. So she's saying a someday will maybe be her someday. I go, well, in all of this partying, are you guys talking about marriage or anything? She says no. So I'm going, that's a big red flag, because if you're building, the guy should be talking on the first couple of dates, or you should be talking about long-term plans. Dating is just not go. If you want to be married, dating is not just going and partying and having fun. It's getting to know the person, finding out if you're compatible to build a relationship. And she's like, oh, she's all mad, you know, this and that. I said, he's probably not going to commit to you.
So she's a serial dater.
He's a partier.
Right.
If he doesn't have
attention. The question is, does she really know what she wants?
Because if she wants
marriage and a family, party boy's not the boy.
Yeah, but when you're out with the party boy, you better find out on the first date his intentions with you, not just how much fun you have partying. Because most men do not just run to the altar. And if they say they want to get married someday, that could be 10 or 15 years. And it might not be with you, because he's not talking about it with you. Good men that want marriage talk about, I got to get my career. I want to get married. I want to have a family. They do talk about that. They do.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. One of the men in the group said, the only reason that he was considering marriage and a family was because it was expected of him, and it was how it had to do with his job, his career path, that, you know, he's an attorney. In order to make partner, they don't want a guy who's not married. They want a stable guy that's married with a family. So that was his reasoning. It had nothing to do with falling in great, passionate love with somebody. And that's interesting, too, because if you think about it, I wonder what the actual number of men is who are just getting married because, A, it's either expected of them by a certain age.
I don't think.
Or it has to do with their career.
Yeah, I don't know if, you know, I think nowadays people don't necessarily want to get married. I think it has changed so much that these millennials want to be kind of free to just get up and go. A lot of them still live with their parents, irresponsible. They don't want responsibility, definitely not for somebody else. So I don't know if marriage is really going to be big in the next couple of years. What do you think?
I think that it's cyclic. I think that we go through a time period in the world that people aren't doing it. I think probably it's never going to cycle back like it did in the 1940s.
Yeah, or 50.
But people were tending not to get married in the 20s, you know, the roaring 20s that had that whole whatever. And then it started to shift after like the Great Depression. So I do think it's cyclic, but I'm not sure it's ever going to go back to like it was like in the 40s where your grandparents got married and, you know, your grandpas went off to war and they came home and then they just were married and they just, you know, my grandparents had the kind of relationship, both sets of them, where they went through hard times. They went through trouble. Both of my grandfathers were in World War II, but they came home and, you know, they didn't throw the toaster away. They fixed it. And so that's how it was with a relationship. They didn't just go, you know what, things aren't working out the way I want them to, so I'm divorcing you. That just didn't happen back then. It wasn't acceptable morally. I think that people are more inclined not to in this particular day and age.
Yes.
But you'll find that it's really, I mean, here's the thing. If you're going to commit your life to somebody, but when it comes right down to death or something of that nature, and you're not married, you're just standing there with your suitcase in your hand when it all ends. So you're going to commit 15 or 20 years of your life to somebody who's not willing to marry you. You may want to second think that.
Yes, that's true. I'm going to throw out the number here for callers. They may not think we're taking questions. If you want a question answered, and we take any questions, 323-203-0815. Call in and have your question answered. We'd love to hear it and share it on the radio. And Kelly's got a good point there. But I think now that people are living longer, they're marrying later. I find that they want to spend their time up till they're like late 30s. Exploring their being single, and then they're getting married later. Would you find that to be true? Because then they still get 40 or 50 years with their spouse.
Yeah, I think that the men are definitely in that mindset, and I find that the women are not. I have 4 young clients under the age of 28, and all of them are saying the same thing to me. If I'm not married and I don't have a baby by X, I don't want a baby. I don't want to be 62 years old when my kid is graduating high school. Like,
that's
I
good.
Want to have, like, we want to have their babies
and enjoy
before
them.
They're 30.
Yeah. Enjoy them
when they're healthy enough to run around the park with them. My one lady is 36 years old and she's like, I'm done. She's like, think about it. I'm 36. If I get pregnant now, I won't have the baby till I'm 37. In 10 years, I'll be 47. And that baby will be in this grade. And she went through the whole click through. And I was like, well, you really thought about this. And she's like, yeah, I'm done. Mm-hmm. My bio clock is now frozen. I'm not having a child so that I can die when my child's in high school. And I said, well, there's always that risk. There's always the risk of some, you know, catastrophic event or disease. She goes, but yeah, do I have to plan for that? Like, I'm so damned old that I can't even see a grandchild be born. And I was like, well, you've got a point. So women, on the other hand, I think they are like, you know what? I'm not having a kid because I'm not going to be old and have a kid. And men don't care if they're old and have a kid. They don't care.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter to them.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
I mean, I don't know if it's they think they'll always be vital or, you know, I mean, come on. When I was 16 years old, I didn't think I was ever going to die. And I thought that, you know, life was going to go on and on and on forever. However, you wake up in your 50s and you go, oh, what happened? How did I get here? And holy crap, you know,
yeah.
I'm coming to the end of the pier. So, you know, and maybe 30 doesn't seem that old to some people, but for some of my ladies, they're just absolutely adamant not doing it.
Yeah.
And I said, well, what happens if you meet a man and he wants to get married and have kids and you're 34? She's like, no, then he's not my man because I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
So they're laying down the law to a certain extent. And again, like you said, people are wanting to do it later, most specifically, I think, men. And, you know.
Yeah.
And my one lady's like, I don't want a man that's any more than 2 years older than me. And I was like, okay.
And 10 years. Dr. Ellen always says 10 years difference is good for women going up. 10, because, yeah. And a lot of women, you know what, I tell them 10 years up, but going back, oh, we have a caller. Caller, you're on the air with Kelly and myself. Do you have a question?
Hi, my name's Marty, and I'm in Troy, Montana, believe it or not.
Oh.
And thank you. I've been listening to you guys, and I wanted to know if Kathy Katz was part of your team. She's helped me out in a lot of different ways over the years, and of course, your mom, you know, I've studied under Kathy, and I've been to your mom's Tuesday night things down in Newport Beach. And just wanted to give you guys a shout out and see if Kathy's a part of the team and if you guys are all still, you know, kind of working together. It's really exciting to me to hear you guys talk about this great, great, you know, language that your mom has taught for so many years. And I just wanted to say hi.
To answer your question, Kathy Katz was trained by Dr. Pat, but she has her own groups and stuff. She's not under the One Institute employees or coaching program. She does her own on the side.
Hers is her own thing. Okay, yeah,
yeah,
I know she's
her own thing. Yeah,
trained by your mom.
Yeah, she was. She's off on her own. We have just Patricia Eltidge, myself, and Kelly Ward and Andy Shaw as the coaches.
Okay.
But Kathy's a great coach. She's a friend of mine. She's wonderful.
She's wonderful, incredible. Isn't she?
I
call her the team leader because she always leads and points me in the right direction when it comes to all of the, you know, just communication overall, not necessarily relationships, but just proper communication.
Yes.
And I think that's really the, you know, obviously your mom was so passionate about relationships being successful. But in that process, she's created just such an amazing communication skill set that you guys are teaching. And of course, Kathy Katz is teaching. And it's just wonderful stuff. I wish more people could you know, get this information and this intelligence, you know, because it's just so spot on.
It is. We try to spread the word. We want people to call in and get questions. And I offer my ladies groups. And Kathy has her groups, too. She advertises. And we're out there. But a lot of people are busy. And they don't, you know, they drop in. And they drop out.
Yeah.
Yeah, they drop in and drop out.
Well, I want to support you guys. I totally support Kathy, of course, and her you know, talktokathy.com, and I support her, but I want to support you guys too, of course, and I'll put up, you know, social media posts up, and I just wanted to call and thank you.
Thank you. Thank
okay.
you for calling.
Well,
thank you.
Keep up the great work. Yeah, thank you so much.
Bye.
Thank you. Great hearing from you.
Both of you. Thank you.
Yeah, anyway, we're getting short, running out of time. If you want information on the One Institute services, please feel free to call the office at 949-723-0338, or you can send me an email at info@drpatallen.com. And we have Kelly, Patricia Eltidge, myself, and Andy Shaw that are available with different programs to help with communication, relationships, life scripts, couples counseling. We have it all. And we have the licensing to use Dr. Allen's material. Dr. Allen has the patent on all of her name and brand and her materials she uses. So that gives us a benefit to use it more freely, is what I would say. Kelly, do you have anything else you want to say?
Yeah, and legally, I just want to say I'm so glad we had such a nice time tonight. We had some great conversations. I was lucky to get invited and to listen to what the men had to say. And it was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. I hope that I had some pearls of wisdom to share with some of you ladies tonight. And we love you. We'll be back next week.
We'll be back next week. Okay. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.